Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMI Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be speaking with author Siegfried Beckedorf about his book, Lifting the Fog. Mr. Beckedorf, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I am on the line.
How are you today?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Excited to talk to you about your novel. So could you let our listeners know a little bit about Lifting the Fog?
Yes, I can give you my inspiration to write about this. It really refers also to my first book, Diamonds Everywhere, where I experience dramatic traumas of shock and violence when I was 15 years of age. And this led me to an awareness of a deep connection to nature's healing power. Lifting the Fog is a fiction story. I took two students, and actually it was also an inspiration by my grandson, who was undecided about his future and his subjects chosen and so forth. So it encouraged me to write about this, to give him also encouragement. I took two students in this respect. In their second year at a Canadian university, out of their studies, and encouraged them to take distance, they lacked a recognition of individuality by the teaching staff. By that I mean the teachers were concentrating on the textbook but didn't allow students to voice their own individual inherent knowledge to actually should normally assist the teachers to also make sure that the individuality of students are respected. Now, they were frustrated and decided to take some time off and travel to Europe. Visits to Paris, Berlin, Munich, Innsbruck, Austria, and Italy. They landed in Switzerland at the Goethe Annum Conference Center near Basel. This is a remarkable architectural complex that was developed by the Austrian philosopher Rudolf Steiner. He was a student of Wolfgang von Goethe, and his audience were people from all over the world and all walks of life who attended his lectures at this Goethe Annum Conference Center. His philosophy of nurturing respect for individuality and freedom in human society, he also co-founded the Waldorf School concept, which is widely taught well in about 1,400 different schools worldwide. The two students took part in the lectures and later got married to teachers of the world of education concept. Hiking, singing, enjoying nature on the trails in the mountains and valleys put a sense of lightness and humor in their studies of Steiner's somewhat complex philosophy. And the cover of my book, Lifting the Fog, shows a scene in the Alpic, a beautiful country with trails meandering through the foothills. Now, teaching and lecturing Steiner's philosophy in Europe and internationally, they also expanded their contacts with students and teachers and parents in periodic newsletters. And they emphasize individuality and equality and freedom. So this is really centering around the same concept of the lack of individuality, which frustrated these students. And they found some kind of support in Steiner's philosophy for individuality and freedom. And also emphasize the humor and lightness part in their studies of Steiner's somewhat complex philosophy. So this is really turning around and emphasizing the importance of individuality and equality in what made them follow this particular path, the two students.
Mm. What I find so striking about that is you'd mentioned your previous book, and we had discussed it last time, Diamonds Everywhere, about your own personal journey towards a philosophy rooted in nature and very similar ideas. And here we have a philosophical heir and a foundation and a trajectory for that with Steiner's philosophy, which is really compelling. And what I'm very curious about is, while there's thematic similarities in both books, what inspired you to write it as fiction rather than nonfiction this time?
Well, actually, it's a combination. There's some nonfiction involved because my wife and myself, and doing our travels and doing business in Germany and Europe, we stopped on our trip to Zurich in Basel near at the Goethe Annum. It's in Dornach, and we took part in one of the lectures, and we were impressed by the variety of subjects they offered, and there was a steady interest in their lectures. So my wife and I were very impressed about this. And then later on, as we returned to Canada, I visited my wife's twin sister's a daughter, who is a Waldorf teacher in the Okanagan Valley in western Canada, and her daughter, Annie Beckerdorf, is a student. So when I visited them, I really thought I should write a book about that. It was my own experience and the additional idea that I fear some students are frustrated and looking for individuality to be accepted by teaching staff.
Mm. And so what is... whether it's drawing from Steiner and the larger Waldorf philosophy of education, what are some things that you think should be changed in, I guess, the educational system in North America? I mean, you talked about individuality. Are there, from the lectures you attended and from the exploration of writing in your book, were there any things that really struck you as major problems in the education system and possible solutions to celebrating individuality?
Yes. Now, I come back to what is really my inner strength, my deep connection to nature. And this is what I loved about Steiner's philosophy, that he also emphasizes in his World of School concept the love of nature, to really make sure that there's a joy and strength by having connection to nature, and make that part of the building an inner strength in the school years as well as the adult years and professional over the later life.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with that idea of connecting to nature. And, you know, your other work deals with that on the personal level and how nature shaped you. And, you know, you mentioned your grandchildren and their interactions. Were there ways in people around your life and in the way that you raised your family that celebrated nature before you attended these lectures, or even after? Were there ways that you brought nature into your family life?
Yes, in some ways, because what I liked about what Steiner called his anthroposophy strives to bridge the cleft that's left, developed since the Middle Ages among the sciences, arts, and religious strivings of man as the three main areas of human culture, and to build the foundation for a synthesis of them for the future. Anthropositivism is also an impulse to nurture the life of the soul in the individual and in human society, meaning, among other things, to nurture the respect and interest of in others on a purely human basis, independent of their origin and views. The main organization of this is a society which exists in worldwide form of national societies. While rooted in a philosophy of freedom and impulse to nurture purely human interest in other people, it also is a possible practical, it has practical implications on lives in various movements, like the most developed in Waldorf School and biodynamic farming in Waldorf schools. So that is really an overall subject, I feel, if that's recognized in different educational systems around the world, and I think especially in North America and Europe, this could give encouragement to expand school systems and expand the views of students to have an overall interest in improving or adding to what the normal school systems are teaching.
Yeah, that's just so important and essential in the way that all of these things intersect and are interrelated is just so important. And so I'm curious, we had talked last time about Diamonds Everywhere and the motivation, inspiration in your own life, but your wife having kind of inspired you to write, and as a personal exercise of expression. With Lifting the Fog, do you have a specific audience in mind? Was there someone you were specifically trying to reach out to, whether educators or students? Who did you really write it for?
Yes, okay. After I published the book here in Canada and had different lectures and meetings and introduced the book, I had quite a number of people who were had either children in the Waldorf schools or knew about the Waldorf concept, and we could exchange ideas. They felt some of these items could be taught in other schools as well, and could add to a broader view that students may gain in a normal schools. And I was quite encouraged listening to some of these people, and that brought them in the interest in my book. And when I traveled across Western Canada, the Okanagan Valley in Vancouver, BC, I kept on running into people who had connections to Waldorf schools, and this made it interesting when there is already some knowledge about Waldorf schools. And that encouraged me to keep on talking my book. Also, I translated some of my items, Waldorf schools in Germany, and I visited one of the largest schools near Stuttgart, Germany, where the Waldorf school was actually founded by Steiner. And I left the book as well at the Goethe Annum for the library in Switzerland on my travels to Germany.
Well, that's excellent. And being able to, have the book be inspired by these ideas and then kind of synthesize them and bring them back to those areas. And, it also sounds like for those who might be unfamiliar with the Waldorf concept or with Steiner and all of that,
yes.
What's so great about it being written as a narrative is it gets it in there without you even realizing at first that you are being educated about something because you're engaged in the narrative. And that's just such a compelling way to present these ideas. It's just really wonderful. So given that the two books of yours we've discussed are this sort of philosophy of nature, I know you have a third book that we'll be discussing. Does it fit into this trilogy that you're writing?
I feel, and the English version of curiosity, courage, and humor should be in my possession here this coming week. It has been published in Canada, and that book is, in my opinion, it's less pages, is summarizing actually the entire line running through my book, Diamonds Everywhere and and Lifting the Fog. It summarizes everything and comes back to this particular theme of curiosity, which I think is also an interesting thing that was promoted by Steiner to install curiosity for their future and learning, the curiosity of learning new things. And this is really reflected in my book, this latest book, much more. And I talk about webinars in this respect that I attended in North America, and also talk shows and so forth. And this latest book also puts emphasis on nature. Then what is water? What does a tree tell us? And I emphasize in chapters that we are part of water because we are 90% water and so forth. And I take this subject from Japanese writers. We are water, and as well as trees, there is overall in North America and Europe a great interest, especially now, in trees. What do trees for us? I have a chapter on trees, what trees tell me, myself, that I'm part of nature, part of the river flowing in cycles, and seeing this all coming back, because the water that runs by my place here in Bragg Creek, I see the water going by and lit up by sunshine and so forth, and I realize the water is constantly traveling. It goes from through this river here and to other rivers, and it circulates, so it comes back via rain showers and snow and humidity, and there's a strong feeling that I express in my book that we're all part of nature, and that can be an inner strength and allows me to expand my consciousness for humans of infinite possibilities that we all have by really taking more interest in the detail of nature, what a tree really does and how a tree finds its source through a powerful energy by going rooting and going for water and supporting other trees and so forth. So I go into quite a bit of detail there. Plus, I talk about creative aging, which I touched on in Diamonds Everywhere, and I go into more detail in creative aging and the scientific proof that as we age, our brain cells don't lose brain cells. As a matter of fact, we benefit by having positive attitude as we retire. And then also I talk about meditation. What is meditation? I refer there to certain authors who say meditation is very simple. Each one has its own way to meditate on life. And the main thing is to understand that meditation is is giving us evidence of life is teaching us all when we become still and embrace stillness to concentrate on our inner strengths, that this is something I also mentioned is so difficult for most people to stop in their activities and stop their mind, their racing mind, and take a minute or two and become still and know that we do find strength in finding and let go of our busyness by feeling a space for creativity and so forth. So I deal on that and as well on what can we do, each one of us, to make this world a better place to live.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to discuss it more in depth next time we speak, and I know the listeners will be excited too. And just what strikes me about sort of, I guess I'll call it the Beckendorf trilogy, is, you know, sort of beginning with the very personal and the individual. I mean, the individual goes throughout all of the books, but then to the community and education, and then to something that is almost so universal and metaphysical. It's just such a great trajectory of ideas to really hit home for a reader, how all of these ideas are so applicable in daily life. And it's just, you know, in these kind of dark times we live in, it's so good to be able to find ways to connect as humans through nature, through understanding, through meditation. I mean, it's such important work, and I just want to thank you for all the work you do.
I would like to mention, too, that the German version of this book, Curiosity, Courage, and Humor, has already been published in Germany about 2 weeks ago, and the reception is great. I was also invited by my German publisher to possibly come for book signing sometime. So I feel I have also a good audience in Germany, because that is a society, of course, there's many more people running around, and their busyness and activities and so forth are much more emphasized. And I feel an acceptance of what I'm talking about, and I expect a good communication coming out of that as well with German readers. Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that's great. And so many of these ideas, I mean, that's what makes them so powerful, is that they're universal. They, you know, it's like whatever language it's in, whatever culture it is, it's
going
to resonate with readers.
Exactly.
I know our readers will be anxious for the publication and release of the English version. So next time we speak, we'll delve more into the book on curiosity. But it has been such a pleasure speaking with you today about lifting the fog. And I will speak with you soon.
Yeah. And Mr. Green, do you have an idea when this potential third radio talk could to take place?
Yes, I'm hoping most likely a week from Wednesday. And when we settle down a time, I'll post it so the listeners will be ready. But I'll email you and we can be in contact so it can be sooner than later.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Beckendorf. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate your interest. Thank you.
Right. Bye. Bye-bye. That was author Siegfried Beckendorf discussing his book, Lifting the Fog. This has been AMI Radio with your host, Charles Green. And remember to read on.